Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I wanted to come live today sort of last minute because of the big breaking news late last night regarding Travis Decker. As you know, this platform and also, of course, Twitter/X, we have followed this case from clear back in June when 3 little girls were murdered purportedly by their father, particularly Evelyn, Olivia, Peyton. They were suffocated. That was determined to be the cause of death. Specifically, plastic bags were put about their heads. Zip ties were used. In some cases, more than one plastic bag was used, and they were suffocated. You know, this is one of these cases that I think for anybody who follows domestic violence and domestic abuse, which is a big point of this platform, really one of the main reasons we're here, and that I know many of you are here, it's because it's to bring awareness. And specifically in this case, I wanted to point out that Travis Decker, his wife, fought so hard to keep him away from his children. She talked about his volatility. She talked about the fact that he was violent. She talked about her concerns over him having any sort of visitation. And look at where we're at right now. It's just horrible what happened to these little girls over 3 months ago. And I think it's important to point out that in these cases, oftentimes judges might perceive this as just some vindictiveness by the spouse that's fighting against visitation. I think they use their own personal information or personal background if they've had a divorce and had trouble with custody issues. And instead of looking at the factors that were really presented, and at the end of the day, and I know I seem to be on this huge monologue almost about judges and how judges are not checked and how judges often are in their position because of politics. They're often in their position and they're not deservedly in their position at all. When you look at Irina Zarutska, who was attacked on a Charlotte light rail, murdered viciously, three strikes with a knife. It was so premeditated. The whole process, when you watch that film, is so slow, and murdered right there in broad daylight for many to see and watch. You know, you just ask, who was the offender? And in that case, that offender had been arrested 14 times. He was a violent criminal. When you look at this case, no, we don't have that criminal history, but you had somebody coming forth, the wife, with very specific concerns. And how in the world could a judge ever give the father visitation without it being monitored? Listen, I understand these children have a right to know and be with both parents. You know, it's always a shame, I think, when a parent is denied their ability to see their little girls. But in this case, there were very specific concerns. And paramount to any judge's decision just has to be the child's welfare. That's the number one consideration, I think. And in this case, it just wasn't, because you could have ordered visitation, but in a controlled environment. And even then, I know cases where they were attacked nevertheless. you know. So anyway, but at least it would have been a better chance that these girls would be alive and wouldn't have been taken to the woods and murdered. And think about this. They would have watched. The first one that was murdered would have watched. The second would have watched. The third, I'm sure they complied with, you know, putting the zip ties behind their backs. I'm sure they did whatever their daddy told them to do. Remember, they were 9, 8, and 5. So, so little, so precious. You know, I have to say, looking back at my kids, every age is special, and except for maybe 15 to 17. No, I'm just kidding. The teenage years also always have different challenges, but the years of 5 to about, I'm going to say 12, really firstborn to 12, but they are so innocent. They would just do anything for you. They mind you, at least minded, you know, I think it was very hard for many of us to really watch this case, and that's why we monitored it so, so very closely. Anyway, after the bodies were found, and remember, this was 3 days later, of course, the manhunt ensued for Travis Decker. And there were so many pictures of Travis Decker. This was where they were searching. You know, there's this picture of him when he was sort of in his military style cut, probably in, you know, his best shape. But the latest picture that was released, and I think this picture is the most accurate, is this. This was Travis Decker. This was the Travis Decker that likely looked his little girls in the face and that they had to look in the face as they were being suffocated. And sadly, and I don't want to get too graphic, but it takes a while. Suffocations don't just happen, just like strangulations are very long. It's very hard to strangle somebody to death. Now, it's not difficult at all to strangle someone to unconsciousness. That's very quick, really within seconds, if they properly get on the carotid artery. And so unconsciousness is achieved, but not death. And so in this case, it would have been just a horrific, horrific, horrible process. What I found interesting, and again, I want to caveat this by saying, and even though I know I tweeted he's dead, the reason I said that is law enforcement is saying they believe it's him, but he has not been proven to be him via DNA or teeth. So that's when you know you have an absolute identification of someone. So I'm going to caveat that it, you know, they're waiting on that. But listen, his clothes, his other items were there. And so they're very sure it is him. Also, it was his remains were found just 1 mile, everyone, from the site. That's all he went. 1 mile is about a 15-minute walk, probably in those conditions, 10 to 15. You know, he was former military, very well trained, used to going through, you know, wooded environments. And I will say that I think this was a big reason why a lot of people wondered if he was on the run. For me, I figured he killed himself. And I know many people were in the same boat just because we know that's often what individuals do. They're cowards and they commit these crimes and then they don't want to face their actions in court. They don't want to face their actions before the public, and they certainly don't want to be jailed and be in solitary confinement their entire rest of their lives, if not, you know, otherwise meet their end. They understand he was educated and knew what it would mean to be a child murderer and to try to survive prison. And they're too cowardice. They don't want to go through anything ugly. And quite frankly, a lot of people have asked, well, why did he commit this murder? Why did he annihilate everybody but not kill his wife? Well, I truly believe that he knew the worst, worst thing he could do to harm his wife and to make her have a lifetime of sadness, of regret, of pain would be to take those little girls from her. I think he wanted her to live and wanted her to know the pain that he inflicted. So I believe that's why she was not murdered. He knew it would be much worse on her, which is also very sick. And he didn't want to live with that shame and in that prison environment. And I believe that's why he took his life. I think he took his life. Some have said, well, maybe he died from the elements, maybe, you know, accidental. That's not my belief. We'll see if I'm proven wrong. I think we're going to find probably a gunshot wound to the head, but we'll see. We'll see what is determined. If he took, some sort of drug or pill, you know, cyanide, something like that. I think we will find those answers out. That might take a little longer, but I think they're going to probably within the next day or so confirm via DNA or teeth that it is definitely Travis Decker, but all indications say that it is. So a lot of people have been asking, how was he missed? He was only a mile away, literally a mile away. From the scene of the children being found. And I want to go through just really quickly what a grid search is. I think many people know they can envision it where you literally map out, and now it is all done electronically, specifically pointing out, listen, you're going to line up, and you literally line up sometimes as close as, you know, arm's length away from one another. Maybe a little bit further than that, but it needs to be in your line of view where you're able to scan everything in your grid and you're walking in this formation, if you will. It can be huge, like when the space shuttle went down and the FBI was responsible for collecting space shuttle pieces, body parts, clothing, anything that showed that the space shuttle went down. And you have to walk that so you can see and identify everything in your area. Now, why did this fall apart? Because it was only a mile, and not to be critical, but if this were 10 miles away, you know, several miles away, I could see it, you know, it becomes more difficult. And certainly this was difficult. I don't want to say it wasn't. But essentially, when you go in each direction, a mile out in a grid, and remember, you had all the federal agencies were there. You had National Guard that was deployed to help with this search. Washington State, they got this special funding to get the Guard in. And I know that they're not trained per se. But, and I always say this because a lot of SLUs, and I love the SLUs, by the way. So I'm not going to badmouth the Twitter SLUs because I actually really respect many of them and the work they do. But where I have seen certain people that I don't respect, and I won't point them out, that are in search and rescue and private eyes and all of this, they say, oh, only if you're trained, you should ever be on this. Well, it's garbage when they say that, because law enforcement has historically, before individuals ever became search and rescue people in the last couple of years to promote their platform, you search, you need help, you need eyes, you need numbers to get more area covered quicker. And as long as an individual has decent eyesight, is very mobile, and is committed to the mission, people can well search. Let me tell you where this broke down, though, because this wasn't even necessarily private citizenry. As I said, this was military, and this was law enforcement, all the law enforcement agencies. This was hundreds of people. And over the last 3.5 months, they've been searching. How did they miss it? Well, this is the problem that's posed when you're in a place like the mountains where he was. You have streams, you have bushes, you have huge trees, you have briar patches, you have all these areas that now this is in your grid, and literally you can barely see your hand in front of your face. And I'm not trying to be, I said this today on News Nation, I don't want to be critical or it might have been on a radio hit of my brethren, because I know how hard it is. I've done it. It's brutal to stay within your grid, within your lane for all this distance, right? Don't worry. I mean, you get a rest and everything, but you can go walk an hour, 20 minutes, take a break, an hour, but you still stay within this line. And when you have a huge bush or briar patch or a gigantic tree or something like this that can obscure your area, you can miss things. And now you might be asking, but Jennifer, they had FLIR, they had forward-looking infrared, they had drones they put up, they had all of this. Well, he got a three-day head start. My belief would be that right after he murdered his little girls, Olivia Payton and Evelyn, let's not forget those names. Everybody knows Travis Decker's name, that he likely took his life right there, you know, walked about a mile away and took his own life. And so now you have 3 days that the process of decomposition is going on. So now the body temperature, within about 24 hours, your body temperature has gone way down. And even though it was June, you know, the nights are not particularly as hot, and his body temperature had gone way down. So now when you're looking for heat being disseminated 3 days later, there's much less heat being emitted. The heat actually comes from the bugs that take over the body and start working to eat and decompose the body. That's where actually there still is some heat. And that can go on for up to 2 months, believe it or not, you know, for the bugs to eat everything up and for it to be gone. But the infrared that was used by law enforcement to try to find Decker's body would have been severely diminished by the fact that if he did kill himself right after he killed those girls, there was 3 days time. And that body would have already been much decomposed. And even though, like I said, it could pick up the bugs, it's also picking up other animals, and the forested areas have so many animals and so much heat being disseminated that it would be very difficult for a FLIR to find Travis Decker deceased for days. So for those of you wondering how this happened, because I think a lot of people are wondering that. And again, I think I even used the word drop the ball, and that is too harsh of a statement to make about law enforcement. They did the best they could do, but somebody missed a full-on body on their grid. That's just bad. I really think so, because 3.5 months of hundreds of thousands of dollars that were spent to continue to send law enforcement, military, you know, all these search and rescue groups that tried to find him, and he was really right there. But my hat, I must tip my hat to those individuals who made the call to go back out again. I think that was really important. They decided to go back out and redo the search they had done. And that's critical. That's why, and I'm going to digress a little, but in the case of Sebastian Rogers, that's why I say it's critical that searches continue. Searches right within that area continue. Because, you know, do I think he wandered off? No. But whoever did this to Sebastian, could they have put him in the wooded area? Yes. Do I think it was probably the landfill? Possibly. Do I think he's still alive? I don't. I'm totally digressing. But we always maintain hope. We always maintain hope. I think all of us realized that likely Travis Decker was dead. There had been no sightings. There had been no information that he was alive or had been seen. So I'm just glad that now the family has answers, never closure, but they have answers now. And they cannot, I mean, his wife, I would guess every night, just lived in total fear, probably locked up with alarms everywhere, cameras, fearing that someday he would come after her, because the hate he had to have to kill his girls just would be so strong against her. But anyway, I think we have some not closure, we have answers in this case finally. And I really appreciate everybody who is on here now. I know it's 10 in the morning. I appreciate you all. Tonight is Friday Night Lights. And so whenever you have Friday Night Lights and you have a high school football player, you are entrenched in that. This game is a few hours away. So there's some travel involved. And then I do the little help out with the little, you know, lunch and meal, the pregame meal. Before, for any of you who have kids who don't do that, you should do it. It's hilarious to, in this particular environment, this football, they're not even allowed to talk throughout their entire pregame meal. That's how strict this coach is. So it's kind of funny to see all these teenagers quiet as church mice, just eating, and then perfectly having to clean up every crumb. And, you know, there'll be no, you know, signs that you ate at this table there. So I really encourage that even if you can only volunteer once, you do it. It's just very interesting. And then I think it's also good that your kids know you're there if you can. Many people work, many people have other children they're responsible for caring for. But I just wanted to let everyone know why we're coming so early today. I also wanted to quickly, I can here put up a picture of the Menendez brothers from back in the day and just let everybody know not only were their parole denied for both, which happened, I think, last month and talked a lot about that, but now their bid for a retrial has been denied. So many people wondered what was going to happen, even though they were denied parole, would there be a retrial? Well, it's been denied. And the judge found, I want to say why, the judge found that that note, remember the note that was purportedly written to a cousin from Eric Menendez that was found way later, purportedly in the back of a drawer, but it was typed. So there was no way to, you know, prove that it was really authentic. And again, months later, and even though that same cousin testified on the stand and didn't mention the note back then, he later died of a drug overdose, but the note was never authenticated. But that isn't even what the judge said. The judge, and this was very interesting, the judge said that what was written in the note didn't even comport with the testimony of Eric and Lyle Menendez. So he said, at worst, this note, even if it were introduced, shows them to be liars. So he didn't consider the note. And then the Menudo band member, remember the parents, particularly Jose Mendez, his story was he came from Cuba, a refugee and an immigrant, and he built from nothing. I mean, it was literally like a Scarface situation where you come here and you're, you know, a poor, poor migrant working, I think, as a dishwasher, if I recall straight, not only for Scarface, but for Jose Menendez, too. And I believe that he, you know, he just worked his way up and ended up being a multimillionaire, kind of a mogul in Hollywood. And particularly he produced and managed one of the things he did was Menudo, the boy band that some of us remember. And one of those members came out and said, listen, and I'm not even going to say his name because to me, he did it to be famous because he was approached about doing a show about Menudo and about himself. And one of the caveats, I think, or at least one of the areas they were going to delve into, he said, oh, and by the way, this is 30 years later, I was sexually assaulted by Jose. He took him back. He took me back to his house and sexually assaulted me. Okay. I never bought that. It was way too much later. It had never been mentioned before. You know, the whole thing, to me, it struck me as being contrived because of when he came out, not only the distance in time, but also this project he was working on to do either, it was a show or a movie or, you know, a docuseries, something like that. And so it just seemed all too convenient. In any event, the judge ruled on that and said, listen, you know, that had absolutely no impact. In other words, they wouldn't have known about this. No impact on the decision of Eric and Lyle to murder their parents. And he also pointed out the premeditation of it all. You know, they had to buy ammunition, and they had to buy a gun. It was California. It was difficult. They had to go to multiple places. They had stashed these weapons. They did come up with an alibi, two different alibis, actually, completely premeditated, and then went in. They ambushed their parents, by the way, who some say were asleep as they kind of watched TV. They eat ice cream, dozing off. Whatever the case may be, they were completely ambushed. Jose shot in the back of the head and shot 6 times with a reload. The mother shot 10 times with a reload. In other words, they went back out to the car after they exhausted all their ammunition, reloaded it up, and went back and shot them even more. The mother was crawling on the ground. For those of you who don't know, she was hit, but she was alive. And they took a gun to her face. So her face was obliterated. Then they went on a cash spree, a spending spree. They bought real estate, cars, watches, drugs, lived it up using some ridiculous amount of money in a very short period of time. I have that figure somewhere, but I don't want to throw one off the top of my head. But it was a lot. The number that sticks in my head is, well, I can't remember the number, tens of thousands of dollars. That I know for sure. I don't think it was a million, but tens of thousands of dollars that they went on this spending spree. They were very free. Their actions afterwards were ungrieving. They admitted the murder to a therapist that they had always had, apparently, and then threatened the therapist. The therapist was so afraid of his life, he took his tapes and brought them home. He recorded everything, and he was very upset because it was his lover that actually turned in the situation, because he had an oath as a medical provider that he could not go to law enforcement, and it was actually overheard by his lover. He was having an affair and made her angry, and so, nothing worse than a woman scorned. And she turns him in, and, now he's worried for his life that these guys are going to come kill him, but they ended up arresting them, and the rest is history. So anyway, no parole, at least for now. They get a revisit in 3 years, I believe it is. It could be two. I need to look back at California law. Each one is different, but I think they have to wait 3 years to come back before the parole board. I just wanted to touch base on that because it was kind of a loose end we've left dangling. So they're gone forever, at least for the foreseeable future. The Menendez brothers will be locked up. And forever, it seems Travis Decker is gone. And while he won't have to face the justice I think most people would want to see him face, to me, I determine justice by what they don't want. So when somebody doesn't want to be incarcerated and doesn't want to face the music of their actions, that's what, I think many of us wish would have happened. But at least his wife is safe. At least the public knows. At least we can stop spending hundreds of thousands of dollars searching for him, because it appears that he likely died killed himself right after he murdered his children. I want to check chat really quick, put on my specs here. And great. I appreciate everything that everybody's writing. And again, thanks so much for being here. I always like to put chat up, and sometimes I forget. And if there's a certain background or if I have too many windows open, it doesn't come up. But I always like you guys to be able to see live what people are seeing, because I also post this on Twitter. And so they're not in the chat, but they're watching simultaneous. So for everybody who came at 10 o'clock in the morning, I know it's so early. Shoot, the West Coasters might not even barely be up. But for those over the pond, I'm so glad to have you here. Many people have said, can't you do anything in the morning? Can you do a couple segments in the morning? So I don't know if they got the word, but we're here for you across the pond too with this 10 o'clock segment. And just going to keep these girls up on stage. Evelyn, Olivia, and Peyton, their lives were snuffed out too soon. Lord knows what all they would have accomplished. And Travis Decker is has met his end, I believe. And I'm not sure justice was exactly served, but the case is over. So until next time, everyone, may justice be served.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.